It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast edition. This is the audio compendium to the usual weekly newsletter. In all the latest and greatest when it comes to data breaching and overreaching. My name's Joey, that's Len. Buddy, what's going on over there? Snowing here in Ontario tonight. We were wearing shorts a week ago and now there's snow on the ground.
It's two Wednesdays in a row we had crappy weather. If you recall
It's Thursday today.
What is with I'm lost, you know, and I'm just stuck in this cycle of working. Whatever, it is what it is. So, yeah. Whatever, who cares? Eventually, there's nothing I could do. I can't go play golf. I can't go play tennis. I'm stuck.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this weather just eats me physically, mentally.
Same. I'm dying. I was looking at my step count the other day and just looking back at the last week or so. Man, the number of days where I didn't get 10,000 steps is honestly embarrassing. And I'm still lifting weights and stuff, but I do notice that if I don't get out in the morning to walk the dog because it's raining or snowing, I have a worse day, you know? I don't know what you guys do for your pup, but I always have a worse day when I don't get the walk in the morning.
She don't walk.
No?
She doesn't like walking. She's not a walking dog. She's a lap dog. Hence, I don't take her out at all. When I go out, I put my headphones on and the heck with it. So it's nice, quiet, and it's just me alone. You know, because it's now getting warm again, I'm starting to listen to more podcasts.
Yeah.
So it's nice to do that, but definitely not today. What a waste of a day outside.
It's okay, buddy. It's okay. Hang in. We got lots to talk about this week. Last week's quote, good judgment comes from experience, which comes from bad judgment. That was by Bill Gurley. No winner on that one. I listened to the BG2 podcast sometimes. Bill Gurley and Brad Gerstner. The Thinking Man's All In, it's been called. It's a pretty good show, but it's a little more in-depth than the All In guys are. This week's quote, mind is the cause and what we term matter or the visible is effect. If you know who that was by, put in the comments, no Googling. You can only grab your Encarta Encyclopedia, CD-ROM, or hope that one of the Civilization 7 technology research quotes catches that one. If you get it right, you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. Just toss it in the comments. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with this Shopify thing?
Sure. I'm going to Shopify that the manifesto was leaked out. It looks like the Shopify CEO went and released this and it went viral, actually, at least, yeah. You know, to what it says now that AI is now mandatory for all employees for Shopify. And it says that using AI effectively is now a fundamental expectation of everyone at Shopify. And goes to show you that a lot of people, even the big wigs, believe that there is some advantages from learning how to use AI. It may make some projects quicker in terms of getting stuff off the ground, or even if you're stuck at a particular idea, it does help a little bit in terms of like coding and stuff like that. But in terms of this, he wants to make AI proficiency mandatory, and he also wants to make use this for the development. They want to include this in the integration of the early stages of prototypes of stuff. And I like this. I like giving people the advantages of using the tools available to them, not locking them out and shutting them out. Because I know, like in academia, for example, AI is something that's looked down upon, and it for obvious reasons. But in the corporate world, certainly I am a firm believer that this is something that they should be able to use. If you can take advantage of it, I wouldn't rely on this solely. But if there's a way to make your job or your tasks easier, all the more power to you, man. Go right ahead and give it a shot. And I like that Shopify is doing this. Now, this information should it have been leaked? I don't know. But I think it's giving us a glimpse of what's going on in the world of tech. And they're looking at AI as a potential tool that can be used. So interesting.
I think this is a great idea. Let me ask you something. When you start researching for our show, this show, whatever, where do you, like before AI, where would you go first to look up like really sort of rudimentary information. Like I remember years ago, we were talking about like bond yields for the first time, or the yield curve or the treasury market. I had no idea about that stuff. And I'd be curious, like, where did you go when you were thinking about new topics for the first time to figure out what exactly you should start looking into?
It's always been Twitter. And it's still to this day. And I'll be perfectly honest, I don't use for searching up a topic. I don't use any of the AI tools. I primarily use Google. And so as I'm trying to get information for the week, I'm just real time looking at stuff that's interesting, getting that link and copying it into a running database I have, or a running spreadsheet. And from there, I go back to it later on. I look at it and I simply just Google it and look at articles that are written about it. And since a lot of it is related to Bitcoin, CoinDesk is one of the big ones that come up as one of the first places I look at, but it could be also mainstream media. I like to look at those as well. I know people might be thinking, oh, but mainstream media, but I like to get differing opinions on stuff. And then from there, try to get at least my own judgment from that. And also I just type it in Twitter or X, whatever, it's on the top right-hand corner and see what comes up and see what other people are saying or thinking. Because often you get a really good ideas, a lot of bad ideas. And I just like, you know, sifting through them. So yeah, I don't tend to use AI for just searching for stuff. I should, but I don't.
I do get a lot of ideas from Twitter, but you know where I usually start now looking into a subject is Grok. And it's basically replaced Wikipedia for me for a lot of the, I don't want to call them academic subjects, but you're not going to find a lot of politicization in, like, I don't know, what's a good example? How many treasuries China holds, right? Like how many 3-year duration bonds is China holding? You know, I don't need to look through Wikipedia charts for that. I can just punch into Grok and get it. The thing I'm curious about for the Shopify story is what internal tools does their AI also have access to, or is, you know, what is that AI capable of? Presumably, they're doing a lot of coding, like you mentioned. Presumably, they're doing customer service stuff, like you mentioned, presentations, like you mentioned. And in-house LLMs are probably way more effective at combing old data, combing old presentations, combing emails for certain things, certain topics, and giving you like a sort of broad sweeping feeling on what the company, you know, mandate is when it comes to that subject, or what the company feeling is when it comes to that subject or that problem.
Well, did we lose you or did we lose me?
I think I just can't see your picture. I can hear you fine though. Okay. The thing I would say to people who are upset about this, Toby Lukey saying that he thinks it was going to be leaked in bad faith. What would be the bad faith interpretation of this? Making people's jobs easier. I guess you could say that he's setting the stage for layoffs in the name of efficiencies. But I mean, he's not going to be alone in that. And companies and organizations that don't do that will arguably be disserving their stakeholders and arguably even their top performing employees, right? By bogging them down with people who refuse to use the tools or don't want to. So I think this is great. I actually think that probably you're going to see more stuff like this in the next 6 months, because even though I've been a detractor of AI generally, I have to say it's improved to the point now where I find it useful for some things. Maybe it's just that I'm not a good prompter, but it's useful for some things for me for sure.
I think in the environment now, given that the economy is, at least here in Canada, it's having some difficulty firing on all cylinders. And then on top of that, the unemployment continues to go up and people are looking for jobs, are having a difficult time finding it, not only within their own field, but also outside of it, in entry-level jobs. And now you're introducing a new tool that could potentially create a whole bunch of new layoffs. I think it becomes a touchy subject to discuss and even approach. So I understand why people are, you know, don't want to talk about it that much, but really you can't stop progression. And this is kind of, you know, it's, in a way it's evolutionary.
Yeah.
So it's hard to stop it. It will happen regardless if we like it or not.
Yes.
So we should just embrace it as much as possible and try to make it the best advantage we can with it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Akira Bot. You know, it sounds like a Street Fighter 2 character. Right? Doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I think about that name. There's a couple of good names in this week's letter, but I don't know if I care to talk about that one. I give it one, let's say.
I don't think they're all pretty bad, but either way, this is in an artificial intelligence platform, and that's what Akira Bot is. And they're using this to spam website chats, like the comments sections and contact forms, to promote some search engine optimizations. So they're targeting 400,000 websites and they've successfully spam deletes another 80,000 websites since September 2024. And this is they're using this OpenAI API tool. And it's really cool, Joy, because they make this as simple as possible. Here's an example of using the right. So the tool offers a graphical user interface to choose the list of websites they want to have targeted and customize how many of them they want to target in a concurrent fashion. I even have a snapshot of what it looks like, what they're trying to do. So like one, it shows heat therapy for pain relief, and you're talking about that. How to start a dream journal, cultivating connections, the impact of gardening with children, and site useakira.com. And through that, you're trying to optimize the SEO to point to that with a whole bunch of different. And interestingly enough, Joey, because a lot of these comments, and you have to like get it through a CAPTCHA, right? You have to click on something or some pictures. This has managed to figure out how to get around that. So even the CAPTCHAs has not been successful at stopping this from proliferating. So now we have this stuff going on. I find it rather ingenious, though. And the fact that they've done it in such a way that it's so simplistic, you can just click a few things on the GUI, and you can target how many you want, whichever you want, and concurrently or individually. This very interesting stuff. But you know what? This is a very powerful tool because it's also going to make people want to showcase their website, even though their website doesn't deserve to be up there in the SEO. They're going to take advantage of this as much as possible. What's going to happen is I think search engines like Google are going to have to pivot and try to filter this out in the future. How they're going to do it, I don't know. But it's they'll have to figure it out somehow.
It'll be tough. I'm curious about the effectiveness of something like this. How many people just look at the links and don't look at those first few sentences and, you know, realize that something is going on with the results?
I think a lot of people don't really look
know.
At the links.
Honestly, I don't know. I feel like sometimes you and me are like, you know, we do the show, obviously, and I think we're more tech savvy than 99% of the population, but we might be the wrong people to ask that question to. But I can't imagine you would go and like not realize something was going on. I could be crazy there. I would realize this right away if I was on Google and noticed like, oh, every description of each link is exactly the same. Like what's going on here?
The description's the same, but the website is different.
I always look at the description. Do you not look at the first line or two? Cause you can kind of tell, right? If it's like a bad translation, I'm not going there. If it's, you know, if there's like other keywords that, you know, are included because they're adjacent to my search, but not really what I'm looking for, I'm not going there. You know, like I look at that stuff before I start clicking, and maybe it's just us that are, you know, that are doing that. But it feels to me like this is almost too obvious to work, but maybe it's not. You know what? A lot of stuff we talk about on this show seems too obvious to work, and it works every week over and over and over again without fail. So maybe this is just another thing to add to that list.
You're just discriminating against people that have poor translation services, right? Like you think about it. Joey, if they are crappy at translating something, I want to go visit that website because they may be lacking in that skill, but maybe their coding skills or their graphical skills or something else is just out of this world. So it compensates. So yeah, if I see something that's not translated well, I'm hitting it up, man.
We gotta find out. I think I might start taking that as well. Yeah.
Heck yeah. WK Kellogg Company.
I mean, who doesn't know Kellogg's?
But it was a spinoff type of thing. Like it was Kellogg, but now a couple years ago, they kind of went to this WK Kellogg. But either way,
okay.
They were hit by a data breach. And I can't believe this. Even your cereal, even your freaking cereal has information there that they want to steal from you. But it's interesting, the information that they stole. So the breach occurred not too long ago. It was December 7th, 2024. And this involved an unauthorized access to personal files that were transferred with the Clio server. And the Clio server is a popular file transfer software, and it's used by thousands of organizations worldwide. And with that, they were transferring sensitive employee files, including the information that has names, social security numbers, and stuff like that. So with that, somebody could really cause some havoc to somebody with impacting their credit score or maybe identity theft or stuff like that. But why, I mean, why do they have to have this information, and why are they transferring this? Like, you know what I mean? This is a cereal, like they make cereal and other products, but you know what I mean? Like, why do they need to have this information on file? Like, limit it. And if you do have it for just your employees, don't just be sending it around. Like, I don't know, but whatever. If the people that are impacted, they're going to have to go through the whole ordeal. They got to, in this case, pay for their own 1-year creditor monitoring services. They got to make sure that their data hasn't been exposed. They got to look online and check like that. All the phishing emails are going to be coming down the pipe. They got to be very curious, very worried about that. But now they also have to start changing their passwords maybe and start employing, if they haven't yet, good multi-factor authentications, because this is the way to go. But yeah. Oh, well.
What can you really say about this? Like, it's, I know you mentioned it happened in December. I still think that's too long. Presumably they told people before this, obviously, but interesting. Another 0-day breach, right? These are notoriously difficult to get in front of and oftentimes reported for reward. You see this with iPhones. I don't want to say frequently, but you know, semi-frequently, whenever there's a flaw or a vulnerability, oftentimes Apple will pay big bucks for a white hat to report that. Here, I guess the, you know, lifetime supply of Lucky Charms just not really, you know, not really tickling the the greedy sentiment on the other side of this attack. So yeah, I mean, look, you're gonna have this stuff in employers take a lot of information from you for a lot of good reasons, identity among them, payment among them, but the security has to be top tier, and in this case, obviously not even close. Another company, you know, to add to the boneyard here. You never thought you'd see it, but here we are. Even your Frosted Flakes are not safe.
Well, they're saying it was using a Clio thing. Now, I'm wondering if the Clio protocol or software might be compromised in one way, shape, or another. And if that's the case, all those other thousands of organizations using it, they may want to figure some other way in which to transfer their files. Secure FTP or something. I don't know. Just figure that out. Either way. Let's talk about a couple of Chinese stories.
Sure.
And the first one is, well, let's get the names out of the thing. We got Bad Bazaar and Moonshine.
I like Bad Bazaar a lot.
I was going to say Moonshine is the better of the two.
For people listening, it's not Bad Bazaar like Bad Strange. It's Bad Bazaar like, you know, you go to the church bazaar after Saturday night mass and buy some cookies from the Knights of Columbus or whatever. Like that's the bazaar they're talking about. How about that callback, Knights of Columbus? What was the female version? Knights of Columbus was the men. What was the women's? Catholic Women's League, right? Was, I think, one. I don't know if that's like GTA specific, but Catholic Women's League was another one. I haven't been to a church for a mass in like at least 15 years, and I still remember that stuff. Really beat into me. I bet you I could recite still word for word an entire Roman Catholic mass, like a post Vatican II mass. Don't turn away from me and do it in Latin, but an English mass I can do, I think, verbatim still, probably.
You haven't lived till you went to a Greek? Anything Greek?
No, I haven't done that.
Oh my gosh. Greek Orthodox? I'm guessing. I'm not sure, but I went to a wedding, and when they do a lot of the important things, they repeat everything. I believe in triplicate. Could be wrong, but it's just over and over and over.
How long is it? They're very long. One, and then the crowd does it back, and then they move along, right? So it's like one extra refrain, but
it's just, it was an interesting, whatever. Either way, let's move on. Let's talk about this Bad Bazaar and Moonshine, because these are more of these Android apps that are reportedly out there, and they are appearing to be legit, but in fact, they're spyware trying to steal information. And this was discovered through a bunch of international government agencies, including those coming from the UK, Australia, Canada, Germany, New Zealand, and United States. And they published a report about this, and there was some spyware, and the spyware was what we mentioned was called Bad Bazaar and Moonshine. And the apps, once they get root in your phone, they're able to get access to the phone's camera, microphone, the chats, the photos, and even location data. And I'm not sure if they're asking for this information and you have to give up that access, or it just does it automatically. I do not know how it does that, but I would suggest for people out there, use a more secure device if you can. And if it does ask you, don't give up the access to that stuff. But what is they're trying to do with this? They're trying to target some marginalized communities within China.
That's one way to put it. That's one way to describe the Uyghurs in China. Yeah, marginalized. Sure. That's pretty soft. Pretty soft terminology there.
So, yeah, and it's apparently there's a lot of them. There's 100 Android apps that are even out there that are, in addition to the Bad Bazaar and Moonshine, this 100 are masquerading as Muslim and Buddhist prayer apps, chat apps like Signal, Telegram, and WhatsApp, and also stuff like Adobe Acrobat readers and utility apps. Look, if you're going to download an application, try to make sure you get it from the right source. Even though that Google Play Store, is that what it's called? Is it Play Store or App? Whatever the heck it's
called.
Play
Store is Google. Play Store is Apple.
Make sure you download it from there. And even then, it's not 100% certain that it's going to be free from anything, but at least you're increasing the odds that it's clear. But another thing you could do, you could get like F-Droid, and that's a great place because everything is open source. And the code, you can just see how many people look at it, how many people use it. And the more people that have access and use that particular software, the code has been vetted numerous times, and you know it's probably going to be safe. So it's the onus is on you to use the right software. But you know what? China is going to be doing this more and more moving forward. You can see what's going on between them and the United States. There's going to be some real infiltration in the United States with Chinese apps coming in and trying to get access to people's information. This is the next big wave, next big war that's going to take place. Mark my words.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Uyghurs, like historically, just completely mistreated in China. You can feel whatever way you like about any religion, but to torture and, you know, confine to camps people based on their spiritual beliefs is completely insane. It's not new though that governments are looking for ways to get information on people and not being upfront about it. I think that's safe to say, and I also think it's safe to say that they are not the only government doing it. You know, Len, you know who the chairperson of the Signal board is, right?
Isn't that lady that I see every so often pop up on X talk about the product?
No.
Or am I wrong?
It's the current president of NPR, I believe.
What's NPR again?
National Public Radio in the States.
Why?
Make of that what you will. It's either current or past. But yeah, she's very tightly tied to NPR, which is obviously a major government, you know, institution. So interesting. Every day a new layer. Every day a new layer of the onion. Right? You never know everything you think you know.
Signal is an open source software, and it's end to end encryption. So unless they're able to crack that encryption somehow,
I don't know.
I'm not going to put much faith.
We're all just talking. We're just saying. All we're doing on this show is just saying. That's it.
Now, if it does happen, it is cracked. Everything I said on Signal, it was just a joke.
Yeah.
So take nothing what I said with
and those nudes, that's not my body. That's not my body. Yeah. So yeah, no. Yeah. I don't know. Nothing to worry about for us, but yeah, just in case anyone is wondering.
So last story period, and it's also the last Chinese story too. And China's been making a lot of news these days, and this is another one that's we just add to the list. This memoir that was released, Careless People, and this was released by Sarah Wynn Williams. Mm-hmm. She's trying to get as much support as possible to make sure that this shows on the number one bestseller list. Well, she was a very prominent person in Facebook at one time. She was working for Facebook between 2011 and 2017 as the director of global public policy. And while she's been summoned to appear in front of Congress as of yesterday to talk about, well, what she's saying that Meta, they're trying to undermine U.S. national security and betray American values. And also, they're trying to win favor with Beijing. Meta is trying to win favor with Beijing and build an $18 billion business in China. So this talking point, this Careless People, this memoir she released, was also discussed in the Senate Judiciary Committee, Subcommittee on Crime and Counterterrorism. This was done not too long ago. So This is making its rounds through the U.S. government in terms of being discussed. And she's out there talking about it, but also getting her name out there, and her book is being pumped in terms of going for sale. So good for her with respect to that. But either way, she claimed to have witnessed Zuck and other executives repeatedly undermine U.S. national security and betray American values. This is according to the New York Post. And for all the purposes of this is trying to get cozy with China and trying to get a big payday out of them. She's also claiming that Meta helped China develop advanced artificial intelligence to help compete with American companies, saying that there was significant contributions to Chinese advances in the AI technologies like DeepSeek. And when DeepSeek came out of left field not too long ago, it might be just coincidental, or there might be some truth to this. I don't know. But one thing is for certain, Zuckerberg, his wife, and this, you can make what you want, she is of Chinese descent, mm-hmm. right? She is American born, right? But what did Zuckerberg do in the past 10 years or so? He learned how to speak Mandarin fluently. Why? He claims it so that he communicate with his wife's grandmother, who doesn't speak a lick of English. But there may be more to it. There may be because it opening up opportunities in China. It's a huge market over there. Billions of, well, 1.7 billion people. So there's a lot to this. I know you're a big fan of him squatting, whatever the heck he is squatting these days. But you know what? This guy, he goes whichever way the wind is blowing. And I don't trust him at all. Good for him for improving his physique and so forth. But in the end, like, he's out for number one, and that's himself, not for us.
Len, buddy, I totally agree. I think I'm with everything you just said there. It is not a believable story that he learned Mandarin to speak to his grandmother or his wife's grandmother. It is not a believable story that he is not trying to, at all costs and at all moments, throw the average person under the bus for Meta profit. And I think this story is something to keep an eye on. Zuckerberg, you know, spent a lot of time with Trump during the campaign, obviously has, like, quote unquote, found religion. You and me have talked about this before, how even though I am supportive of his squat regime, I do think that there's something to him going where the wind is blowing, just like every other guy is doing that right in the tech space. These guys all suddenly aligned with the president and the administration. You know, what is the rule, right? You don't trust them if you just have that feeling. And, you know, if you look at Zuckerberg's past, what gives you the feeling that he's, you know, on your team? I don't know. Probably nothing. Shouldn't be anything at this point. You know, all your data stolen. He ripped off Snapchat in basically in its entirety and added this suite of features to Instagram. You know, he's in the middle of a pretty significant antitrust action between Meta and the U.S. government over WhatsApp and Instagram, which at this point, Instagram is like it's probably 15, 16 year old acquisition now ish. No, maybe not quite that long. When did I think that happened like a week after I had my knee operated on. I was probably 24 at that time or 25. So let's say 14 years. Like, that's an old acquisition that now governments are going back and going, hey, wait a minute, maybe this wasn't such a great idea. So we'll see how all this turns out. But yeah, to suggest that he's not looking at opportunities abroad while this is going on, I would say you're crazy if you think that's the case.
That's a joy. No more stories to talk about today.
That's it. That's it. God bless. I got to take off, go brush all my Mandarin here. And we'll be back next week with the latest and greatest in data breaching and overreaching. Until next time, take care of yourself.
Ni hao.